worship to God. Let's open His book and listen to Him. Let His word work mightily in us. Let's receive it, not like it's just a man talking, like it's the word of man, but as it is in fact the word of God. The same will judge us in the last day. So we're going to be judged by this word. Been asked to do some lessons on the family, the home. So I'm going to start off this morning with looking at the godly homes, that godly homes need godly fathers. So I'm going to pick on the fathers a little bit this morning. I'm not doing it. God is. God is telling us some things in His Word. So let's look at what God has to say about what He wants from us. And in that way, we can truly worship God. First of all, we need godly homes today because isn't the family unit a mess in this world in general? And it's a mess. Children grow up without fathers in their homes. And they don't know, you know, what it might be like, what it would be like to live with a father that loves them and that cherishes them and that leads them in spiritual matters. So much of the crime that's going on now is out of homes that don't have fathers that lead their children. Fatherless homes is a big problem in our nation. And it becomes a big problem in churches as well. So what we need to do is that we need to recognize that you're the light. That is, you set the standard. The world doesn't know the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light. He shines in our hearts. He helps us then to know what we should be as fathers, as husbands, leaders of our homes. He shines in our hearts, and we know some things that the world doesn't know. They need to know it, but one of the ways that they're going to be able to see it is by way of contrasting their miserable home, their lack of spirituality. They're going to be able to contrast the difference between that home that they grew up in without a father or without a spiritual leader, and the homes that they see have spiritual leaders in them. So, fathers, you're the standard. You're the standard of light. You show what it should be like. You show that there is salt and light in this world. You're the difference makers. That's a lot on your shoulders, on our shoulders. There's a lot that God places on our shoulders, but He doesn't just put heavy burdens on our shoulders that we can't bear, because He's there to bear it with us. He helps us to bear the load of responsibility He's placed on our shoulders. So we don't have to live this out by ourselves. We live it in a companionship with the strength and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And if we take that seriously, we become the salt of the earth. We become the light of the world. And as fathers, we need to particularly be the standard that others could look to and say, you know, that's the way my family should be. That's what I want. I want to be that kind of leader for my family. So let's remember these things then. It is homes that fail today that cries out and says, please show me better. Show me the way. You set that standard. Now Jesus, of course, sets that standard for us. We in turn set a standard that people can see on the human level of today. Fathers, there's an old saying, the person who's at the top, that the buck stops here. Whatever way the family unit goes in society, The buck stops at the head of the house. And God has placed that squarely on men's shoulders. Now I recognize that many men have become very much cowards. They run from the responsibility that God has placed upon them. They don't take it seriously. But the buck stops here because God says, you are to lead your family. That's what a head of a house does. He leads the family. The family is no better than what the head of that family aspires for that family. Do you want your family to go to heaven? And are you going to bear responsibility to see that we make the steps that get us there? And we don't just talk about it. We don't just think about it. We don't just wish that it could happen. But we take hold of the responsibility God has given us. That means then that we understand if our family unit is going to be spiritual, the spiritual nature of it is greatly affected by whether or not that family head is spiritual. That is, you take responsibility for being a spiritual leader. That is, you are a biblical man. You are a man that takes the Bible, God's Word, seriously. Not only that, but you love God with all of your heart. You love Jesus with all of your heart. In fact, you love Jesus so much that when it comes to each member of your family, as much as you love them, it pales in comparison. That's why Jesus said, if you don't come after me, if you don't deny yourself, if you love father or mother, wife, son or daughter more than me, you cannot be my disciple. You see the standard? The standard is that you have priorities. Spiritual priorities, because God is more important to you than other things. Because if you don't get this right, you won't get the other things right. Who's going to lead the family to heaven who hasn't first decided that God is first in your life? If you haven't decided that, then you're not going to be able to lead them to put God first. You see that? So the family is no better than the head aspires for that family unit. The buck stops here at the head of the house. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says that the man is the head of the woman, as Christ is head of the man, and God is head of Christ. You see, that order God set in motion from the beginning of creation. That's the way God arranged it from the very beginning of creation. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, husbands are head of their wives, even as Christ is head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. So therefore, the husband saves his wife. Why? How? By pulling her up to spiritual standards, to remind her of that. And she can help remind him of that too. But he is the one. The buck stops here. She may try to remind him and he still not take responsibility. So what I'm saying, or what God is saying to us, is men, we need to be men. We don't need to be people who neglect these responsibilities. We need to be the head of our household, leading to spiritual things, leading to spiritual priorities, and leading them in such a way that they know what is most important to us. Poor leaders. Now, this is just generally true of organizations of the earth. You take a company that is doing great business-wise, it's usually because they've got great leadership. you don't have a company that does really, really well that has poor leadership. You have poor leadership at the top. They don't know how to bring the company up. Well, that principle then, that poor leaders of organizations make poor organizations, is certainly so of our homes. If we're poor leaders in spiritual priorities, we're not going to be able to pull them, the rest of the family unit, up into spiritual priority. You can talk about it, or you can say it, but your example and them noting what your priorities are makes the difference in the family unit. The head of the house must be a good spiritual leader. That is, we got to know what's most important to us, and that's got to be God, His kingdom, serving Jesus Christ, and then serving His church. His kingdom is first above everything else, and then the other things start to fall in place from that. But if you got poor leadership in the home, you got poor organization, and you get poor spiritual results. So we've got to recognize the buck stops here. Spiritual families is what the church needs to be a light and to be salt of the earth, to be the difference makers in a world that is falling apart because they don't know what families should be like. We need to be the ones that show the light on that topic. Spiritual families don't just happen. Spiritual families happen because someone takes the leadership to make it this way. And the buck stops here. In each household, there should be a family head. And that has fallen. God has placed that squarely on the shoulders of the men. Unfortunately, in the world, men are cowards. Unfortunately, in many churches, men have become cowards, spiritual cowards. We've got to be people who take our faith in God's Word seriously. All right? Second thing. Now let's look at what our children need. What does it mean to be a father? Well, it means that you've got children under your care. What is our responsibility to children? Children need things. And they need a spiritual leader they can look up to. And these spiritual leaders care for them in every way, love them. In fact, it's so natural for us to love our children that it's unnatural not to. Very unnatural. Now, Paul looks at it this way. I'm going to use the family unit here to illustrate three important principles. He says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. See that? He says, I'm going to use the family example of a proper father. What does he do in regard to his children? Well, there are three things in this verse that you must provide for those children. And it, in the church, ought to be just commonplace, common sense now. Spiritual exhortation. Now, I know he's talking about spiritual things here. Because Paul says, I'm doing this to you like a father does to his children. What is Paul trying to do? He's trying to exhort them in spiritual things. Well, the implication, of course, is that that's what a father should do to his children, is he should exhort them. What's that mean? Well, encourage them, prod them along, give them direction, give them some direction and say, here's the way we're going to do things. Here's the way we should do things. And this is the direction we're going to take. So three things you've got to provide is one is exhortation. That means you've got to use your mouth to instruct, to guide, and to bring them along spiritually. Not only that, but it's not real exhortation if you are not doing what you're telling them they should do. You see that? That is, if they see a conflict between what you say and what you do, then they're not going to take what you say very seriously. So it's got to be that we're going to exhort them not only by word of mouth, but by the example we show. Spiritual exhortation means that I take spiritual exhortation seriously. God exhorts me as head of my house. I'm going to try to exhort them. Well, he goes on to say, you know, those three things are right there. Spiritual comfort. Spiritual comfort means things are going to work out fine. I mean, if you do the right thing, God is going to be with you and things will work out. So don't worry about whether people like you or not, or people are going to be your friend, or you're going to feel isolated and lonely and outcast. Don't worry about that. You see, you bring comfort to them because you can remind them, Jesus was rejected and he was perfect. So don't expect that everybody is going to like you. What are you doing when you're saying such things? Well, you're saying, just be comforted in the fact that God loves you and you're doing the right thing. And one day, you know, it may not be right now, but it may be one day they'll look back and they'll say, you know, I wish I had been like them. Look back at people that once you resented because they had this high standard, and when they had a high standard and your standard was low, it made you feel uncomfortable, and you resented them. But then later on, you got into such things that, well, I understand, I shouldn't have been in that, and they were doing the right thing. They had the courage to do the right thing, and now I'm looking at them with greater respect. It may be years later, but we tend to look back at people that we may have picked on or that we may have resented, and now we respect them because they stood their ground. They stood their ground on spiritual things. Fathers, you can use that. You can use the fact that Joseph's brothers hated him, but he still did the right thing. You see, comforting them in doing the right thing is part of your job. Comfort them, direct them first, exhort them first, but comfort them that what you're doing is going to pay off. It may not seem like it's paying off right now, but it'll pay off in the long run, and especially in eternity, and heaven will be worth it all. You see that? So we are looking at spiritual comfort that we can give our children in a world that may resent them for doing what's right. They may resent them for a while, but later on they will wake up and respect them. And not only that, but for all eternity, they'll be happy they stood for the right thing. They'll not resent that they were taught and exhorted to do the right thing. They were comforted in doing the right thing, and they're charged. Charging means I'm putting this responsibility. I'm telling you that this is the way that we've got to do it. Heads of houses have got to instruct, exhort, comfort, and give charges to their members of their household. And so when you see that, children need spiritual leaders. You combine that with the exhortation of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He says, you Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Heads of houses, fathers, don't provoke them to wrath. There are two ways you could probably look at that. That is, you can provoke them toward the wrath of God. Or you could provoke them to their own personal anger. That is, you're not provoking them to God's exhortations. You're staying hot and heavy on them to the point that it's making them angry and resentful. Well, when you see that's happening, then you don't need to do that. As a father, you've got to exhort and comfort and charge, not provoke them to wrath. That means you've got to take assessment to how you're going about this. You don't want to provoke them to wrath. Now, Colossians puts it this way. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. They do become discouraged, meaning they see commands, but not examples. They see overbearing fathers, but not loving enough to bring them comfort and assistance and that kind of thing. So you've got provoking them to anger and discouragement, when we should be provoking them positively. When they do something right, do you praise them? Do you say, "Now I am so proud of you"? Do you do that? I love how you did that. The things that they do positively need that kind of admonition as much as the wrong things they do need rebuke. You see that? So we've got to be people who don't discourage them, especially spiritual matters that are so important, that have got to be so important to us, and we're trying to relay that importance to them so that they can in turn save themselves and their children, our grandchildren, under them. Now sometimes we have to chasten them. That is, sometimes we have to bring firm discipline. Sometimes that may even be corporal punishment. That is, the book of Proverbs says several times that if you beat him with the rod, you're not going to kill him, and you'll deliver his soul from hell. So don't be a person who believes that corporal punishment is wrong. It's not. It can be if you do it wrong and with wrong motives. But if you do it right with right motives, it's a blessing to that child. It's a sign that you love them. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us," using that as an example, say, and God corrects us too. We've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. You see, I respected my parents. I respected my father, but he did use the belt. He would always say, "This is going to hurt me much more than it's going to hurt you." I didn't understand that, didn't believe that at the time. But I know what he meant now. He had no pleasure in that. It was a difficult thing for him. But he did it because he loved me, not because he hated me. All right, so they corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, of course not, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The chastening, trained by the chastening. So that's a part of being a spiritual leader, is that when it becomes necessary to use the rod, you use it. As painful as that is to you, you still use it. That's the Word of God. That's not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God is superior to the wisdom of man. Man's wisdom today says don't use the rod. That's child abuse. Their wisdom does not equal God's wisdom. God's wisdom is, hey, I'm going to have to chasten you. Now, that's no different than fathers chastening their children, correcting, chastening, because all of that is part of the training by it. And if we're going to be trainers of our children, especially to go in spiritual directions that they need to get to heaven, we got to love them enough to do what real spiritual leaders do. Children need these spiritual fathers. All right? Now, Proverbs 1:8. I encourage this. Fathers, have, and y'all organize this where you can have at least one meal together. And have it together at a table. We've gotten away from tables. We need to turn everything off, get all the cell phones and TV and all of that stuff out of the way, at least for a little bit of this day. Get all that out of the way and sit down together and have a meal. But as you feed your body, say now, now that we're through feeding our bodies, let's feed our souls a minute. And I would recommend going through the book of Proverbs. Go through the book of Proverbs. It is wise sayings designed to help people become more aware, especially children. You see how he starts out in Proverbs 1, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Now this says two things. Number one, it says, son, you listen to the instruction of your father. The second thing it says is, father, instruct your son. You're to bear the end of instructing. Instruct them. When are you going to do that? Well, I carried them to church. Well, that's good. That's good. But they need some things from you personally. Instruction from you. So let's go above and beyond just attending the assemblies, which we don't want to neglect that, but we do want to make sure that our families recognize from us as spiritual leaders that we have instructions for them. Exhortations, comforts, comforting things, things that we're going to charge them to do in life. Principles and priorities that we want them to bear. And so my son, the whole book goes through and says, now this, look at this, and now compare it to that. Look at this, and now compare it to that. And so he would compare things. So you can exercise your senses to be more discerning. That's what Proverbs is about, to help the young man become more discerning in his life. So Proverbs 1, just verse 8, lays it out there. Son, you got to listen to the instruction of your fathers. Fathers, instruct your sons. And daughters, likewise. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen to her too. Proverbs 3, verse 12 says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Yeah, we love our children and we delight in them. That's why we chasten them when they need it. Now, some children may not need it very often. That's true. I recognize that my son needed it a whole lot more than my daughter did. Some are more hard-headed, more difficult, more challenging than others. So some need this kind of chastening on a more regular basis than others, because not every child is just alike. But you do measure what each child needs, and you discern what those children need. Now, Proverbs 3 says you do that because you delight in them, and that's the way the Lord is with us. He corrects us because He loves us, not because He hates us, because He loves us. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and this is a little bit lengthy reading, so I didn't put it on the screen. But I want us to look at verses 1 through 14. Look at Proverbs 1, or 4, verse 1 through 14. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Now this is the wisdom speaking out. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. That is, if you're going to take care of your physical body and help it grow in the right way, well, know and understand it. Get your mind going in the right way. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. It's good for you. Something good for you, stay with it. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, He also taught me. So, son, I'm not telling you anything that I wasn't taught when I was little. He taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Listen to me and don't forget what I'm telling you. Keep my commands and live. What I'm telling you is going to give you the best possible life you can have here. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. When people around you lack wisdom, they need you to show wisdom. So don't forget what I'm saying when it comes to your friends in your context that are outside of my influence. This has got to be in you. This wisdom has got to guide you in the difficult choices of life. And it's good, it'll be good for you. Do not forsake her. What? The wisdom. Wisdom personified as her. She's your companion. Don't forsake her. That is wisdom personified as her, your companion. She will preserve you. You don't get in near as much trouble as other people do. Some of the trouble that others get in it, drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing, so a lot of them die young ages, unnecessarily, but because they just didn't have parents who instructed them wisely. If you have wisdom as your companion, she'll preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting. You're going to go after material things? Well, if you're going to go after things and try to make sure, I have this kind of car, I have this kind of TV, I have this kind of house, that I'm going to have these things. Well, in all of your getting, make sure you get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. I found that to be so in my teen years. There were people that saw my work ethic, and they said, man, I want him in my company. So you had opportunities that others didn't get because they were lazy. They didn't see any, they didn't have any kind of motivation about them. And so they didn't get as many opportunities. Exalt her, she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. In other words, you are going to have the best life possible here and forever. Hear, my son, listen, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. You won't die of, drunk driving. You won't die of drunkenness. You won't die of drugs. Those things won't even be a part of your experience because you're wise enough to see the difference. And you're wise enough to see the difference because your father, as a spiritual leader, doesn't do those things, and he's taught you that way. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. That is, don't associate with them and go their direction. You stand on your own two feet. That's part of your exhortation to your sons and daughters. Is you don't run with the wicked. You don't run around with the wrong crowd. They'll influence you every time. That you give them enough influence, they'll influence you. Don't give them room to influence you the wrong way. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Why? Because this is what I saw that my parents did. This is what their parents told them. Because you see, they had spiritual leadership in their home. Which brings us then to this conclusion. We have an opportunity to listen to what God just told us. Now the difficult part is retaining it and acting on it. The easy part was to sit here for 30 minutes and listen to it. But the hard part is, are you going to forget it? Is it going to be a priority? Romans chapter 12 says, don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind needs to be transformed. You've got to think differently than the world. And God has given us His thoughts about how we should operate under His wisdom and direction. Let transformation begin now. What do you plan to do to be a spiritual leader of your family? Okay. Let's get our song books now. Never obeyed the gospel, and you see, I can't get spiritual priorities straight until I obey the gospel. Then believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't know why you should believe in Him, study with me or some other member. We'll look at the evidence. We'll show that the evidence points you to believe in Jesus Christ. We won't pressure you. We'll just let the Word of God convince you. And if you are convinced by the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then you repent of your sins. That is, you turn around your mind. Go in the right direction now. Confess your faith in Jesus. Say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I'm going to follow Him. Bury the old way of life in baptism. Romans chapter 6. Bury it. We've got garments there. We've got water right back here. We could take care of that right now. If you've not done that and you know you need to, let's take care of that right now if you're convicted. And if you've done that, and you're among those who've done that, but then you've kind of fallen away and need to correct some things in a public way, and we can help you with that. Please let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing.